test.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm formally opening the Inner West Local Planning Panel meeting of Tuesday, the 7th of May, 2019. I acknowledge the Gadigal and the Wangal people of the Eora Nation on whose country we are meeting today, and their elders past and present. The first item I would ask is to introduce the panel so that the gallery and applicants and speakers can understand the expertise brought to the panel determinations. Each member I will ask to give a brief summary of his or her experience and qualifications. For myself, my name is Kevin Hoffman. I'm an architect and a town planner. For 14 years I was a Commissioner of the Land and Environment Court of New South Wales. Prior to that, I was a founding director of a consulting practice in architecture, town planning and landscape architecture. And prior to that, I was chief town planner for a sub-region of New South Wales. Since I left the Land and Environment Court, I've sat either as a chair or as a member of several different panels in the Sydney region. Now, on my left, I have Kath Roach. I'll ask her to give a quick summary of her background.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. Kath Roach, Sync Solutions is my company. In this particular capacity, I'm here as the community rep. My background is in relation to local government, the Ombudsman at Sutherland Shire Council for 5 years. I've been with Housing for New South Wales for a couple of years. In the last 12 years, I've run my own consulting business, and I consult across 80, 90, 100 local councils in New South Wales. In this particular capacity, though, as a community rep. Thanks, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Kath. On my right is Annalise Tor.
Thank you. Yes, my name is Annalise Tor. I have qualifications in architecture planning and mediation. I've also been a Commissioner of the Land and Environment Court, and I'm also the chair and member of a number of panels, both local and state and regional.
Thank you. On my far right is John McInerney.
Yes, I'm also an architect and town planner, and I'm an ex-councillor with the City of Sydney.
Thank you all. Now, declarations of interest. Do any panel members have declarations of interest in regard to any of the matters on the agenda today?
No.
And neither do I. I had no interest. Yes?
Mr. Chair, I have a declaration of a conflict of interest. I'm declaring a non-pecuniary less than significant conflict of interest in item 3, 233A Johnson Street, Annandale, as my residential premises are in a parallel street, being View Street, Annandale. I do not know the applicant or any person submitting information regarding this matter, but I'm declaring it as there may be a perception to a conflict due to my residential address.
Okay. But, Kath, you see no conflict that would prevent you from voting on the matter?
No, I don't, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Now, so that people know how these meetings run, I'll just briefly run through procedures. The meeting is recorded. Speakers should be aware of that in making their presentations. Speakers should be careful not to use offensive language or give offence to others, whether they're present at the meeting or not. Speakers on the various items are registered with council administration, and additional speakers are not normally allowed unless there is an application to the chair and the panel as a group decides to allow it. When each item has its turn, the chair will invite the registered speaker to come to the table at the end of the U-shaped chamber table and sit at the microphone. The microphone has a button that you have to press so that you get the red light you can see on mine. Speakers are given 3 minutes to make their presentation. At the end of that time, a bell will ring. We may allow more time, but usually, if the chair or the panel members have questions, that extends the time. But we ask panel members, oh, sorry, not panel members, but the speakers, to restrict their comments to the essential facts that they wish to give to us. We have been on site of both the application sites and those people who've wanted us to visit their adjoining or nearby premises. So we hope that we've seen what needs to be addressed, and most of you have put in objections or submissions which we've also read. Now, those attending should be aware that we've had the documents, and you can see them before us, including the plans, for about a week, so that we're pretty familiar with the 600 or 700 pages that are contained in these reports. The panel will make a decision today on each item. Some items might be decided immediately after we've heard from the speakers, but if the panel decides it needs to discuss the matter in private, we may adjourn briefly in order to do that. Then return to give our decision. Now, I must say, in observing those people in the gallery, I think I see David Rawlinson in the gallery. Now, I should say Mr. Rawlinson was a Deputy Registrar of the Land and Environment Court during the time that I was a commissioner there. Now, I've read his objection only just before we came in, and it seems to me that it's not a matter that wouldn't be dealt with in the normal course of the conditions of the application he's objected to, or made a submission on, I should say. And I don't feel that it creates a situation where I have a conflict of interest. I must admit, I was waiting to see if it was the David Rawlinson I knew, because I didn't know where he lived or what he was doing for the last 10 or 12 or 14 years. So I think that should be noted too, and I will add that to my declaration of interests. Are the panel happy with that?
Thank you. Yes, Mr. Chair.
Very good. Now, turning to the agenda items, I note that items 6 and 8 have been withdrawn. So if you've come for those matters, we won't be dealing with them today. So, and we've also had a request from one of the applicants, namely at item 4, 13 Jane Street, Balmain, to move that item forward to the start of the meeting because they have a number of people to speak. And I think the panel's agreed to do that.
Well, it was on the basis that one of the speakers was only available between 2 and 3.
Yes, thank you. Annalise has reminded me that one of those speakers was only available between 2 and 3 o'clock this afternoon.
We need to check with the objectors here as well.
Are the objectors all here for that item so that they can speak? They are. I think I have registered for that item.
Yeah, he's sitting there.
Thank you. Is Brendan O'Brien and Samantha Yetzi, is it? Oh, good. So you're happy with that change in procedure too? All right. Thank you. Now, I have listed to speak. We've already named Brendan O'Brien and Samantha Yetz. It's usual for the objectors to speak first so that then the applicant can reply, and then we can ask questions too if we wish. Would you like to come forward now? There's two chairs there, so you could sit together if you like. Now, usually we would ask where it's two people who are part owners of the same property. Can one just speak to the item?
Yep.
Oh, you've decided to do that, have you?
Yeah, no problem.
Okay, so Mr. O'Brien.
Yes.
Okay, we'll start your 3 minutes now.
We'd just like to start off by saying that we find this
this quite difficult because not only are we're neighbours, but we're also friends of the applicant, and but we just feel we've got to protect our family and our property's interests from any impacts. We've really only got four issues that we want to talk about. One is to do with the natural light that we receive in our property. We're at a considerable disadvantage at the moment because we're 3 to 4 metres below the subject property, and whilst this means we can see that we are already in some shadow from direct sunlight, any additional height by the installation of a paling fence is going to have an impact on natural light or any reflected light into our front, into our living room, dining room, kitchen and lounge room, which all have north-facing windows. We would like to suggest a compromise with this. We'd like to suggest that the applicant already has I forget the name of it, but it's a decorative spear-type fence at the front of the property. And if this was to continue along to the rear where their building line finishes and then a paling fence beyond that, we would be satisfied with that.
Clarification there. You mean extend from the street right through to what you would call the back of the house adjoining the proposed study?
Yeah, so where the study finishes.
Yeah, and then go to a paling fence.
To go to the 1.6 metre paling fence.
All right, thanks. Let's continue.
Overshadowing... we had some initial plans that showed no shadowing. Then the amended plans came back and showed some shadowing. This just made us feel a bit uneasy and a bit suspicious what was going on. We feel that that the applicant should really agree to having an independent shadow expert. We can't read those plans properly. We rely on others. And we think it would be fair that an independent expert gives us advice on that. The report from council says that the shadowing that is now occurring is within council guidelines. We just want to understand, do council guidelines take into account the fact that we're already in a bit of a cavern as it is? Being this far below, any loss of light it just makes a bad situation worse. Two more things. In terms of privacy, it appears that there is some conditions.
How are you going?
Sorry?
That's your 3 minutes.
Oh, you're kidding.
Have you got much longer to go?
No, just another minute.
Okay.
In terms of privacy, there is a suggestion that there are some conditions on the window and also the balcony. We just haven't seen any drawings on what those screens look like. We still will be looked into from the balcony. We'd prefer it not to go ahead, but at the very least we'd like to see what the screens would look like. And finally, in terms of the heritage, the council's report said they're satisfied that the development is not viewable from Bradford Street because one of the neighbouring properties has a hedge line that blocks it. I just wonder what happens when that hedge is cut down or it's trimmed, or it will be fully viewable and it will stand 12 metres above the street. And that's all.
Right, thank you. I have one question. The shadow diagrams that the council has given us are by Studio Prinius. Are they the plans that you
are
relying on?
Yep.
Okay. So we can take the... You said you had your own shadow diagrams.
No. I rely on advice from others.
Oh, okay.
I've just taken them to an architect.
So they looked at these plans?
They looked at those, yeah.
All right. Thank you. Any other questions from the panel, please? Yes, John.
Yes. Through you, Chair. Mr. O'Brien, have you looked at condition 5 on... This is a condition which would be applied to the approval, if it is given, on page 215. The condition is some 10 or 15 words on exactly what that screen will be. It has to be 1.6 metres high, measured from the floor level, permanently fixed made of timber and have a colour finish, etc., etc. In other words, it's quite a descriptive piece of...
It is, yeah.
Isn't that a description?
Well, I'd prefer to just see it in what it would look like. So we can actually, from our level, we can look up and we can actually work out exactly where, what, how much of an impact that's going to be.
Yeah, thanks, Mr. Chair.
Any other questions from the panel?
Oh, sorry. There was one other, if I may. We were looking at... We went to your study.
Yeah.
The line that you suggest in your earlier statements about the palisade... It is a palisade fence, by the
palisade,
way.
Palisade, thank you.
Coming back from the frontage, on-site it seemed to be that the possibility was to stop that palisade at the line of the front building, of the main building. Mm. Would that be correct? Because when we looked up from your study, we could see the edge of the wall there.
Where the side gate is, do you mean?
Yeah, where the sun was coming in.
Well, the sun, naturally, of the morning, that's where the sun comes through. But if that... There's not much of an issue of privacy...
I'm sorry. What I'm only asking is, at what point does it change from palisade to timber?
Oh, we're suggesting that it changes to timber at the end of the applicant's study, which I believe is their rear room. Right through. They've got a rear gate that goes through to the backyard.
Sorry, I didn't get that from your earlier submission.
Yeah.
At the end of the applicant's study, I understand.
Correct.
Thanks,
yep.
Mr. Chairman.
Yeah.
Yep.
And sorry, that's on the basis of what's that going to achieve? Sorry.
Just will allow the natural light into our northern windows.
That's already there because of the existing fence.
The existing fence is
no,
mesh.
No, but as I understand it, up until where the proposal's building starts, there's a palisade fence that's open and there's no building there.
Correct.
Where their building is, the fence is in front of that building, so the shadow is being cast by the building,
I'm talking about light, not shadow. I'm just talking about natural light. We're already in a cave-like situation. Adding to that wall will just make it more cavernous.
So it's a sense of enclosure that you're
concerned
about.
Yeah, a sense of enclosure, and the reflective light bouncing off the walls, we just don't want to stop. We want as much light as we can get.
Nothing further from the panel? All right, thank you very much. We'll hear from the applicants.
Thanks,
people
Mr.
now.
Chair.
Now, I have registered in that regard Stephen Davies, who's heritage expert, and Jeremy Swan, is it, planner?
Yes, that's right.
Yes,
all right, if you'd like to take seats there. Now, since you're separate expertise, we might hear from each of you. You might like to respond to the objector's concerns first.
Sure. So my name is Jeremy Swan. I'm a town planning consultant on behalf of the applicant, and I speak in support. We've read the officer's report and note the application is recommended for approval, subject to conditions. We've read over the conditions and have no objections to them. I would like to address, I guess, the two key issues, which are solar access and privacy. Firstly, as the council officer's report identifies, the additional shadowing impacts are created by the proposed 1.6 metre high timber fence. The proposed alterations and additions to the dwelling are contained within the shadow cast by that fence. The issue of impact, in our view, is a balancing exercise between protecting privacy between neighbours, maximising solar access, and ensuring that a boundary fence ensures occupants are safe from falling the approximate 4 metre drop between properties. The 1 metre high fence could be lowered to 1.3 metres, which would be consistent with the height of the existing fence and hedge and result in improved solar access to the neighbour, as the built form would still sit within the shadow cast by that 1.3 metre high fence. However, we believe the proposed 1.6 metre high fence ensures the sight lines into the private open spaces and windows of the adjoining properties are protected. It's noted that the council assessment is that on balance, the proposed 1.6 metre high fence is reasonable, is compatible with the heritage item and heritage conservation area. In addition, council have considered the 1.6 metre high fence to be the minimum height that is effective in obstructing sight lines into other properties, and this is consistent with their own policy that requires windowsill heights to be 1.6 metres above finished floor level where privacy is an issue. In addition, the only other thing I'd note in relation to the fence is ordinarily a 1.8 metre high timber fence would be considered exempt development and would not require council approval, except for the fact that the site is a heritage item and therefore development consent is required. In respect of privacy, we note there are no living rooms on the first floor level, however, we are reinstating a first floor rear balcony. The reintroduction of such a balcony will be a net positive in regards to heritage conservation. However, in order to ensure this balcony will not result in adverse impacts to the adjoining properties, a condition has been recommended that it requires privacy screening 1.6 metres in height to be located on the southern side of the first floor balcony. In regards to the proposed window on the southern elevation at ground floor, Council have raised a potential privacy issue and imposed a standard condition that requires, again, the same issue, sight lines up to 1.6 metres from the window to be restricted and mitigated to protect visual privacy.
Yeah, that completes?
That completes.
Thank you. Any questions from the panel at this point?
So specifically in relation to what the objector has put forward,
yep.
That the fence along the side of your property, to the basically from the street alignment to the study, be converted into a palisade fence. What are your comments on that?
Our position is, again, we form the view that the timber fence is a better outcome. However, again, I would say that we would be prepared to consider lowering that fence to 1.3 metres if it was deemed appropriate.
And what about a mixture where you get basically from the front of the property to the building frontage of your property,
yeah,
as palisade at 1.3, which in heritage terms, presumably from the street, maintains that openness from the street, then along the side of your building it be the paling fence, and then we discuss whether it's 1.3 and 1.6.
I guess from my perspective I would probably see it as a balancing heritage aspect, and I'd probably rely on our heritage consultant to advise on that particular question.
Okay, Mr. Davies. Yes.
Yes, Stephen Davies, heritage consultant. I think that seems to me like a very good situation. The return palisade fence is quite a typical feature in many houses, often separating houses that are in rows rather than, you know, with a topography change, but it's still very much a traditional device in that location. And the timber fence, just as a timber fence, is also, especially in these inner city areas, a very much a traditional side fencing material. From my point of view, while I'm speaking, I'm very happy with the report. We did have quite a bit of iteration with council officers in resolving some of the details of the building and coming back with further information, and we've been very happy with that process and the recommendations that have been provided.
Could I ask, from a heritage point of view, is there any objection to taking the palisade fence through to the rear alignment of the existing house at its proposed study?
Not from a purely heritage perspective.
All right.
You know, I sort of support the planning argument that there's probably very little amenity outcome, but if that were the decision, it certainly would be suitable from a heritage perspective.
Could I ask Mr. Swan then? It would seem that the neighbour is not concerned about privacy from people who might walk along the side path of the number 13,
yeah,
and people being able to look into their living rooms. Obviously, if they want an open fence, and they've got one now in the mesh fence, they're not worried about privacy there. And they raised the issue that there's reflected light, if you like it, from sky luminescence off the southern wall of number 13 that allows more light to fall into their living rooms below. Do you see that as something that is desirable or acceptable to your client?
Look, I guess what I would say to you is we're in your hands as to, I guess, what's appropriate. I guess our position is that ultimately we would prefer to have a solid fence, but ultimately I think we would live with that form of fencing.
All right, thank you. Any more questions?
No,
no, thank you both then. The panel wishes to briefly adjourn in order to deal with the matter. I don't think it will be very long. We'll return shortly. Thank you. The panel's now returned from its deliberation on item 4. And I can announce the general considerations of the panel before I ask them to vote on it. I can say that the proposal generally complies with the aims, objectives and design parameters contained in the Leichhardt Local Environmental Plan 2013 and Leichhardt Development Control Plan. The development will not result in any significant impacts on the amenity of the adjoining premises and the streetscape. And the panel has considered the objectives, concerns and the applicant's representative's responses. The application is considered to be in the public interest and is suitable for approval, subject to the imposition of appropriate conditions, with the addition of condition 6, capital A. Now, condition 6, capital A, is proposed to read as follows. The plans are to be amended to incorporate a traditional open palisade fence with a maximum height of 1.2 metres along the southern boundary from the front fence line to the rear wall of the new study on the ground floor and thereafter with a 1.6 metre high timber paling fence. The treatment must ensure that the requirements of the Building Code of Australia are met. If one treatment cannot satisfy the requirements, an alternative in the list above is to be used. Details must be provided prior to the issue of a construction certificate to the satisfaction of the principal certifying authority. The measures must be maintained for the life of the building. Can I ask the panel if they're in favour of the proposal as reported with its conditions, with the addition of that condition?
I think just in relation to the amendment to that, the additional condition 6A, I think just the wording should just be about it complying with the BCA not that must be in a main
right.
in accordance with what was above, because
okay.
there, I think we delete that sentence there.
Oh, okay.
That's correct, Mr. Chair. So just in subject to the requirements of the Building Code of Australia are met, and end it there.
Yes.
And then obviously the next paragraph as well, which is details must be provided prior to the issuing of a construction certificate.
Very good.
To the satisfaction of the principal certifying authority.
Okay. Can I ask the panel members to vote?
So in terms of we're voting to approve the application...
Yes, as per the recommendation.
Yep, subject to that additional... Yep.
Yes.
Agree?
Agree.
Thank you.
I agree, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. It's unanimous. Therefore, I can provide the decision that the Inner West Local Planning Panel, exercising the functions of the Council as the consent authority, pursuant to Section 4.16 of the Environmental Planning Assessment Act 1979, approves the application subject to the conditions in Attachment A hereto, with the addition of Condition 6A, as previously identified.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. Just we might leave that on screen in case there are a couple of people quickly writing it down. If you want to take a quick photograph of that, that might make life easier for you. She will leave it.
All right.
That's okay.
Thank you. That concludes items four. We now return to the normal agenda, and we go to item one, which is D/2019/43, 2 Lizzie Webber Place, Birchgrove. Now, we have in place for this, actually, I don't know that I have anybody to speak on this item. The list did have David Rollinson to speak on it, but I think, Mr. Rollinson, you're dealing with McGill Street, aren't you?
Yes, that's right.
Thank you. Well, we'll get to you later on then.
Yes,
we did get it. That's why we realised that the list was wrong. Okay. Thank you. Now, in regard to item one... The panel has visited the site and has read all of the reports. Have the panel got any questions or statements to make in relation to item one?
I agree with the reasons in the council officer's report and agree with the recommendation that the application can be approved. There is a clause 4.6 variation request to landscape area and floor space ratio, which I agree is satisfied. However, just in terms of the wording of that recommendation, I've just noticed that it's not the standard wording that we normally have in our recommendations, resolutions. In particular, it says, and assuming the concurrence of the Secretary has been given, whereas it's actually Council that...
Can you just speak up a little bit?
Sorry. It's actually just slightly the incorrect wording in the sense that it says, and assuming the concurrence of the Secretary has been given, whereas we assume the concurrence. It's not that we assume that they've done it. We've got to assume. So it's just we need to pull up the standard wording, I think, for that.
Mm-hmm.
Which is in probably another item in the agenda.
Through you, Mr. Chair, I think the correct wording's in item 5. I'm just checking it now for the 4.6.
Let's have a look.
I'm just trying, I think that's the next closest one.
Yeah, I remembered there was another one.
Page 277.
Hmm.
No.
No. So, Mr. Chair, that one's also
it is
incorrect.
The same.
No, they're not the standard.
I mean, unless you've changed
same
the standard,
thing.
But.
Yes,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, we can probably just change it. To
delete the words has been given.
Yeah, that's what it deals
we assume
with.
It.
Okay.
Now, am I correct that there's no other changes that the panel was proposing on this matter?
No.
All right. Something bothering me about that. Oh, no, that's
conclusions
the one.
Conclusions on page 74, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, thank you. Mm. It's page 20, isn't it? What's he
page
saying?
24, 20.
What are you saying, 74?
74. No, 20.
No, 20.
Oh. We've moved on to the next one.
20, sorry.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, I'm jumping ahead. Page 20, right, Mr. Chairman.
All right. Well, now, I think I can give an overview that the proposal generally complies with the aims, objectives and design parameters contained in Leichhardt Local Environmental Plan 2013 and Leichhardt Development Control Plan 2013. The development will not result in any significant impact on the amenity of the adjoining premises and the streetscape. The application is considered suitable for approval subject to the imposition of appropriate conditions. Now, we've heard that in recommendation A, the words on the fourth and fifth line, quote, has been given, should be deleted from that recommendation. And otherwise, the conditions of consent recommended by the staff are acceptable. Can I ask the panel to vote on this matter, please?
Aye.
Aye. In favour.
Thank you. That means the decision is unanimous. Therefore, the decision of the panel is A, the applicant has made a written request pursuant to clause 4.6, exceptions to development standards in support of the contravention of the development standard for clause 4.3, capital A, in brackets 3, in brackets little a, landscape area, and clause 4.4, floor space ratio. After considering the request and assuming the concurrence of the secretary, the panel is satisfied that compliance with the standards is unnecessary in the circumstances of this case and that there are sufficient environmental grounds. The proposal will be in the public interest because the contraventions are not consistent with the objectives of the standard and of the zone in which the development is to be carried out. Capital B, that the Inner West Local Planning Panel, exercising the functions of the Council as the consent authority pursuant to clause 4.16 of the Environmental Planning and Assessment Act 1979, grants consent to development application number D/2019/43 for alterations and additions to an existing dwelling at 2 Lizzie Webber Place, subject to conditions listed in attachment A hereto. Well done.
Yes.
Thank you. That concludes item one, and we now move on to item two. And that's for DA 2018/00569, 32 London Street, Enmore. Now, I don't have anybody listed to speak on this matter either. Therefore, the panel can proceed to deal
item
with...
Item 2, Mr. Chairman. But
this is my item 2.
I've got two listed here. Danny Fribelli.
Have you?
Mark Rossi.
I beg your pardon. I have two. I've just misread this. I've got Danny Fribelli and Mark Rossi. Are they present?
Yes.
Now, Mr. Fribelli, I think I read your objection. And yes. Would you like to address us on that? And then I'll hear from the applicant, who I think is Mr. Rossi.
Mm-hmm. Hello. Okay, my name is Danny Fribelli. I live at 41 Cambridge Street, Enmore, which is directly to the rear of 32 London Street. Mm-hmm. And I've previously lodged an objection to council for this application. Those points are on record. But my main concern at this time is to object to the design of the rear of this development and feel that this application, if it's to be approved, then for privacy reasons, the rear design should be amended. We have very small courtyards, which are private refuges for the people living in these cottages. There's already a completed first floor development beside our property at 39 Cambridge Street. Mm-hmm. That particular development was approved subject to alterations, most notable of which was the removal of a rear-facing balcony and addition of obscure glass for obvious privacy reasons. I think this new development is fully aware of the rejected balcony from 39 Cambridge Street, mm-hmm. and so has designed the rear of their first floor addition with a no-foot access flat roof area and plant screen. In the development's current form, upon approval and completion, the rear-facing windows could easily be removed and replaced with doors, giving the owners a ready-made balcony that was never really approved by council. And they will then see right into our backyard and kitchen area, causing greater loss of privacy and amenity. It seems obvious to me this current plan has the intention to get a balcony through the council approval process. We do have a tree at the rear of the property which offers some respite, but it is a deciduous magnolia and bare for much of the year, giving a clear view of the 32 London Street rear roof, or soon to be balcony. I therefore request the panel reviews the current plans and considers these matters before deciding on this proposal. Mm-hmm. That's all.
Thank you, Mr. Fabilli. We did attend the property today and walked into the backyard.
Yes.
And we could see from the drawings and the existing building what it was you were concerned about. I don't have any questions at this time. Do any of the panel members?
No.
Thank you. Now we'll hear from the applicant and I'll ask him to address your concerns. Thank you, Mr. Rossi, is it?
Hi, Chairperson and panel. My name is Mark Rossi and I'm the applicant along with my wife, Juliet. We want to thank the council and the town planner involved in our application. We agree with the council's development assessment report. The only additional comment we have is that 30 London Street provided a letter of support. This was submitted to the town planner following the notification period. If you wish to review it, I have a copy with me. I'm here with my architect, Tony Milluccio. We will answer any questions the panel may have. Including responding to any comments made previously. Thank you.
Okay. Yes, thank you.
Hi, the panel. I just introduce myself and would like to ask if I could speak on behalf of the applicant.
All right. What was your name?
Tony Milluccio.
And you're the architect,
I'm the architect,
are you?
From Dacca Architecture.
Is the panel happy to hear from this person? Yes, very good. Well, thank you.
No worries, thank you.
Sorry, Mr. Milluccio, can you just spell your surname for the record, please?
It's Malluccio.
Thank you.
In regards to the concern of the neighbour, from my point of view, this is first I've heard of this concern from the neighbour. In all the comments that came through from the council and so forth, we didn't have the opportunity to address the concern, but there is no way that the design ever implied that the rear was going to be a habitable space or a balcony. The planting screen that's at the back there from the rear are more an aesthetic point of view from the groundscape looking up onto the building. Because it is a brick wall, we wanted to articulate that brick wall and create some dappling along that external facade. And therefore we created a planting screen, is which I defined it from a ground level point of view, never intended to turn the upper level into any type of balcony. However, to go a step further, we've discussed this briefly and effectively. If there's a condition that the panel wish to put into the conditions as part of a non-habitable space for the lifetime of the development or such, then we're happy to accept something like that, which will satisfy the neighbours concerned.
All right. Well, I think to save you any further submission, can I tell you, having considered Mr. Fabelli's objection and having been there and looked at the plans, the panel had thought of drafting additional conditions to condition 15. Oh, did you have a question, John?
No, only that I have some suggested amendments, if you wish, or you may have them yourself, Mr.
Chair. Well, look, why don't you go ahead?
Well, actually, I've got a question of the architect.
All right.
So just in relation to, you mentioned that there's a planting. You're proposing a planter, and the drawing actually has the note about a planter. But at the moment, there's just some bricks with some trees on, like something on top, squiggle on top. So where is the planter?
The planting... It was an oversight from our point of view. When we modified the plans, there was an extra wall located to the rear that just created a planter box in that configuration.
Okay, so there would have had to have been a wall and then a masonry element above the lounge room.
Yes, that's
correct. It would have been, and that would have been your planter.
That would have been the planter.
Okay, so now you're saying that you would delete that element and just have it as being a parapet, basically.
No, the intention was keep the planter there as the screening that we would wish to have for the ground level and create the masonry planter in the roof structure.
All right, and then that planter will be maintained with irrigation and what, presumably you'll get up on a ladder to maintain it, or you'll climb out the window?
At this stage, we won't climb out the window. At this stage, it'll be irrigation, and then if we do deciduous trees, once a year we'd have to get up there and tidy it up, yes.
Okay.
And that would be via ladder.
And in terms of why you need to have a what looks like a concrete flat roof, which is higher than the rest of your slab, like it's not a continuous slab that goes from your study out above the lounge, it's at a higher level, why don't you just have it as being a skillion roof there rather than a flat roof, which would ensure that it's not trafficable?
Probably don't see there, but it was.
Can you just turn your mic on again?
It is meant to be a skillion roof.
It's been documented as a skillion roof. You probably can pick it up in the section, which I can refer to. You can see it there in section AA. It's just shown as a level change between the study and the actual roof. So it is a skillion roof falling towards the western neighbour. And at the moment, it was intended to be a box guard to achieve a box look.
Mm-hmm.
But if there's concerns there, we can look at a eaves gutter on the western side, but the preference would be a box gutter.
Okay. So to make this clearer, given that the drawings don't really show it, if we put forward a condition that says that the planter box needs to be... Well, I think you want it to stay, so we need to... Yeah, we'd have to have it that the... The drawings would need to indicate how the planter box is to be done and the roof be a skillion roof.
And we can put some maintenance points on our documentation of how they will maintain it once a year, whether it's a ladder.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, look, it's your problem. So is that...
Yes, I think I've got some words I could put around suggested amendments.
All right.
Yes.
Go ahead.
It would be on...
We can address those conditions with our additional information.
Mr. Chair, I'd just add in to the first point, further details to be provided of the planter above the rear extension subject to council. Subject to council, the acceptable level by council.
Mm-hmm. So we want them to be approved by the council.
Yep, yes.
Let me just read what I've annotated.
that we're considering adding to condition 15, making it condition 15B, further detail above the lounge, above the lounge.
That's acceptable. Yep.
Panel on this matter? Are you happy to vote on the staff recommendation with the inclusion of those additional conditions 15B and C?
Yep.
All right.
Yep, so for the reasons in the council officer's report.
Yes, I will read that. Report.
Yes.
Yes, thank you. Looks as though it's a unanimous decision. The forerunner being the proposal generally complies with the aims, objectives and design parameters contained in the Marrickville Local Environmental Plan 2011 and the Marrickville Development Control Plan 2011. The development will not result in any significant impacts on the amenity of adjoining premises and the streetscape. The application is considered suitable for approval subject to the imposition of appropriate conditions. And the decision of the panel is A, that the Inner West Local Planning Panel exercising the functions of the Council as the consent authority pursuant to Section 4.6 of the Environmental Planning and Assessment Act 1979 grant consent to development application number 21201800569 to carry out additions and alterations to an existing dwelling, including a first floor rear addition at 32 London Street, Enmore, subject to the conditions listed in attachment A, here too with the addition of condition 15B, quote, further details be provided to council's satisfaction regarding the planter box above the rear lounge extension.
Sorry, to slow down, further details be provided to council's satisfaction
regarding the planter box above the rear lounge extension.
Yep.
Thank you. And 15C, quote, the roof of the ground floor extension.
The roof of the ground floor extension.
Lounge extension.
All right, well, it comes in at the end. To be non-trafficable skillion roof above the lounge.
Ground extension. Just say the next bit. After extension.
Thanks. To be a non-trafficable skillion, skillion, roof above the lounge. Okay.
Did you want both those to be to the council's satisfaction? So should it just be 15B, further details to be provided to council's satisfaction regarding, colon, the planter box, and the roof?
Well, it doesn't really matter, does it?
Well, it's just one will come into being council and the other one won't.
Well, just after, in 15C, after the word lounge, say to the council's satisfaction. Happy with that?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. All right, now I believe that concludes.
We didn't vote on it.
Oh, yes, we did. Didn't we? I thought we voted beforehand. I asked you if you were happy with the draft conditions.
We vote on the final version.
Yep.
Oh, all right, I'll ask again. Is the panel happy to vote on this?
Yes.
Yes, Mr. Chair, and yes, I concur. Yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
So it's unanimous once again. Very good. Thank you. That concludes item two. Moving to item three. Okay. Thank you.
We'll check that. Thank you.
Thank you. Item three is M/2018/206 at 233 Capital A, Johnston Street, Annandale. Now, check me if I'm right, panel. I don't have anybody listed for that site.
No.
All right. And there have been two submissions in regard to it. We have the plans before us, and we did visit the site, and the building is basically nearly finished, and so this is a modification to the approved building, and the only conditions proposed are the amended plans that were before us. I don't know that we need to discuss this any further. Is the panel happy to vote on this now?
Mr. Chairman, would there be a slight rewording possible on that recommendation?
Yes.
In the last line.
Yes.
It would say, last modified by M 2018-41, subject to the amendment of condition 2 as listed in attachment A following.
Good, that's the same as the notes I have. Excellent. All right. Well, can I ask the panel, are they happy to vote on the recommendation as Mr. McInerney has suggested?
Yes, I vote in favour of the recommendation.
Yes, I vote in favour.
Thank you. Once again, it's unanimous, so I'll read the conclusion. This application has been assessed under section 4.55 in brackets 1 capital A of the Environmental Planning Assessment Act 1979 and is considered to be satisfactory. Therefore, the application is recommended for approval subject to the imposition of appropriate conditions. And the panel's decision is that the Inner West Local Planning Panel, exercising the functions of the council as the consent authority, pursuant to section 4.55 of the Environmental Planning and Assessment Act 1970, modify development consent D/2013/200 at 233 capital A Johnston Street, Annandale, as last modified by M/2018/41, subject to the amendment to condition 2 as listed in attachment A below. And that concludes item 3 on the agenda. And we move through to item 4. Now, item 4 is one that we dealt with at the start of this meeting. We moved it forward, so we go forward to item 5. And item 5 is D/2018/386, 9A Johnston Street, Balmain East. Alterations and additions to the existing dwelling house, including a new external balcony and rooftop terrace with a stair access. Now, on this one, also, I don't see anybody listed to speak. Ed? All right. Does the panel have any requirement to hear from this applicant? All right, thank you. We don't need you to come forward. Now, we did visit the site. Actually, we got to the outside of the site. We didn't actually get inside. Nobody seemed to be home this morning. But we familiarised ourselves with the surroundings and tried to observe the property from various angles. And I believe the panel is happy to deal with the application as it stands. Can I ask the panel if they're happy to vote on this now?
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
And as included in the reports and the draft conditions and the recommendations.
Just again, a minor amendment to recommendation A, to take out the words in the fourth line of has been given, similar to what we did previously.
Okay. So fourth line of recommendation A, delete the words "has been given." Yeah. Okay, panel's happy to vote?
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you, it's unanimous.